We started with verse 28 here. Verse 27 is going to come later, but the woman is testifying to the Samaritans. She left her water pot. Verse 28a says, the woman left her water pot. Why? After all, that's an important thing. She hadn't got any water yet. Well, maybe she's planning on getting it later. She left it for Jesus and his disciples to use. That's possible. Jesus asked her for water, and she had to go back to the city to tell. Maybe she left it for that. Or she was so excited she forgot. Possible. Or maybe she's picturing to us, she asked for physical water. Jesus said, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. So she said, I don't need that pot anymore. I don't need to come here and draw anymore. I have the water that doesn't run out. Well, in any case, she left her pot there. And I say that because John thought it was important enough to put it in there in a book that's going to be read for centuries, forever perhaps. And so I thought, I better say something about that. She left her water pot. And then she went back to her village, 28b. She went her way into the city, into her own city. Oh, isn't it great if you, I'm going to go overseas to have a big parade, a big service. We send you off. You're going off. I remember that for me. My church sent me off to be a preacher. Oh, wonderful. Oh, yeah. When I get over there, when I get to Africa, I'm going to really preach the word. You know what you're going to do? You're going to do exactly what you're doing right here. Going across the sea is not going to change a thing. So she went back to her own city. And that's the hardest place to witness. Jesus said, a man is not without honor except in his own country among his own people. It's hard to do. They remember you. Oh, you're that old guy. I know what you did. They know that. But this woman was there, and she was witness. She was telling them. She was a woman. That's a problem in that society. And especially this woman with her reputation. You're going to tell us how to get to heaven, right? Oh, sure. Then she said, she told them about the man. See, she told the men about the man. She described this man as this. Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Can you imagine one of those men under his breath saying, boy, that took a while. He told me everything I ever did. And it tells me this. Your testimony is good witnessing material. If you haven't done it, if it hasn't been anything done anything to you, then you can't tell a thing. It's like a bald-headed barber selling hair restorer. It has to be something that you've experienced. And so your testimony, I got it. Here's how I got it. That's what she was doing. Your testimony. And I think this is a sign to her and to them and to us. He knew everything about me. There's one song. He knew me, but he loved me. That's it. He knew what she was like, but he loved her. That didn't matter anymore. And so that showed her, that's a sign, this man is special. She already believes because he told her, remember he said to her, I who speak to you am the Messiah. And she believed that. And he had told her, I am the one. If she believed, what did she receive, class? Eternal life. It's okay. Eternal life. See, the roof didn't crack or anything. Yeah. She believed he gave her eternal life. We're going to come back to that. And then she asked them a question. I like the way she did this. She said, he told me everything I ever knew, ever did. Do you suppose this is the Christ? She didn't say him. That's the Christ. What's her word to them? It was not her word, it was his. He told me he was the Christ. When she said, now, do you suppose this could be the Christ? I think your text says, could this be the Christ? Literally, with a construction, she's saying, this couldn't be the Christ, could it? She wants them to tell her. If they tell her, at her suggestion, then they'll believe it. So, they wouldn't listen to a woman. They wouldn't listen to especially this woman. But it was the Holy Spirit's going to work on them. Do you think this is the Christ? And they're going to say yes, as we'll see. Then the men went to Jesus, verse 30. They went out of the city and came to him. This is the object, of course, of any witness. Sorry. Bring them to Jesus. We used to sing a little chorus. Some of you did too. Bring them in. Don't ask them to come in. Don't call them in. Don't pray for them to come in. Bring them in. You witness to somebody during the week, and that person receives the Lord. What a thought. Tell that person, I want to take you to Jesus next Sunday. I'll come by and get you. I'll bring you in. Now, I know some of you just dropped in. That's good. Ed called me last week. I call him Ed. I have a brother named Ed. He called me last week and said he was going to come over here. I didn't know where he was and had a little trouble understanding because, you know. Anyway, he showed up today. I said, hey, great. That's great. I didn't go get him, but I could have. Probably should have. Should have said, hey, I'll come get you. He knew where we were. But see, bring them in. Take them to Jesus. Don't get them saved to you. Get them saved to Jesus. And then you can help. But he's the one. She brought them to Jesus. And then help them, but don't take Jesus' place. Remember what John the Baptist said? He must increase, I must decrease. That's it. Oh, you'll be very helpful to a young believer at the first. But give the Lord a chance to work through him. Give the Lord a chance to grow him. And you put your mind somewhere else. Yeah. So, Jesus increases, I decrease. And make sure they understand they can go to Jesus directly. They can go to the Word directly. They can pray to him. Bring them in to Jesus. Now, the woman testifies then to the men. And then Jesus teaches his disciples. We never outlive our need for learning. You understand that, of course. But we have to learn, have to keep learning. Fred, the oldest man here, I spoke up because Fred needs to hear me. He's the oldest one here. Do you know what? That man reads his Bible. He listens to Christian programs on the TV. He tells me once in a while what somebody said. Yeah. He loaned me a book I hadn't wanted to see. Loaned me one of his books. He's still learning. And I guess I'm second. I learned a few things here and there too. What's up? So, Jesus is going to teach his disciples things. The disciples had a question. In verse 27, it says, I'm back to 27 now. They wondered about something. They came back after Jesus had the conversation with the woman at the well. And at this point, the disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. You ladies, please don't be concerned about this. That was then and this is now. If you introduce your wife as, this is my woman, I don't think that would work. But they had, that was the way their society was. Until the gospel came. The gospel of Jesus Christ raises women to their proper level. But anyway, they marvel that he talked to a woman. She shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't be doing that. And they muttered among themselves. See, the rabbi shouldn't talk to a woman in public. But especially this woman, of course. So they were wondering, but they didn't ask. I like this. The verse 27b says, "Yet no one said to him, 'What do you seek from her?' Or, 'Why are you talking with her?'" You know, I wonder if they had there were some conversations they had with Jesus that aren't recorded by John. And maybe Jesus cut him short a time or two, like he did later on. Remember, in the time when he came to, he told them about who he was and so forth. And then after he told them, Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Boy, that's great, Peter. You did a great job there. And then he went on to tell him, "I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer and die and rise again." And Peter said, "Wait, no, no, Lord. Be it far from you, Lord. That should never happen." And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan? Yeah. "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And they had learned already, he's not thinking on our level. So they didn't ask him the question. And then the disciples still had a concern, verse 31, for him. Their request was, "Rabbi, eat." Verse 31. "Rabbi, eat." And Jesus hadn't eaten. He was hungry, and they went to town to get some food. So he needed some food. "Why don't you eat, Master? We got some food here." And Jesus' response was, verse 32, he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Some kind of food. What kind of food is this? So they reasoned among themselves, verse 33. The disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" See, they're still thinking physical. Jesus is thinking spiritual. And so Jesus' reply to them was, to them, by the way, and to us, his reply is this. Following his example, our meat is first. Verse 34, our meat is to do the will of him who sent us and to finish his work. I like that, finish his work, because that's what we're doing. We're finishing what he started. God's will. What is that? Well, one place where it says, this is the will of God, that you believe on him who sent me. Believe on him. That's the start. That's where it starts. You cannot do a thing until you believe on the one, on Jesus Christ, and on his Father who sent him. That's the will of God, that you believe. And then you have a job to finish the work. Wow. You get saved, you believe. All right, now I'll get to work. Don't let you work a bit to believe. You don't work a bit to get your salvation. There is nothing you can do. He won't let you do anything. You try to do something, you don't get it. Believe, you have eternal life. And so he's saying to them, finish the work. Start first, then, but you have to finish it. And Jesus' part in that work, of course, was to come to live as a man, to die for man, and to go back to heaven. Now, then send the Holy Spirit to help us. Now, it doesn't mean he's done. We still pray to him. He prays for us. He's still doing his thing there. But his job on the earth is finished. He said so. At the cross, he said, "It is finished. It's over." But then we have to go ahead and do the rest of it. Because he died for what? The world. if he died for the world, then the world has to find out. It's not by osmosis. He will not send an angel to some lost tribe somewhere, no matter what. The word has to get there. Right? We're finishing his work. We have to get where they are. The message has to go to them, and apart from that message, they're lost. Apart from their message, they're going to hell. Finish his work. That's what he's saying. We have to finish that work. So our mission then, in verses 35 to 38, the need for reapers. Verse 35. And you know the time for crops is what he's saying. You know when to harvest your wheat and your corn. He says, do you not say there is still 4 months and then comes the harvest? You know when the harvest is. It's easy for you. That's what you're used to. But then he says, the time for souls is now. Right here, right now. And if you don't know that, he's saying, if you don't know it, then you haven't been looking. Your eyes are closed. Because lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They are already white to harvest. I really like this in Matthew. Matthew, after that, Jesus said, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Do you think they prayed? Of course. They did what the Lord told them to do. What's the next line? And he sent them forth. Yes. Pray the Lord of the harvest and he'll send forth laborers. You pray, Lord, send somebody to the field. Okay, go. It's you. I love that. Well, here, he just says, look to the fields. They're already white to harvest. Once you know the crop, that is, believers, you know the world that is in need, you know that. You see the crop, harvest them. The crop is the souls of lost men and women and boys and girls. And the time is now. The night is coming when no man can work. That's one of the hymns. So, well, that's it. The hymn is work for the night is coming. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. So that's our mission. So there's a need for reapers. There's also the nature of the reward. We don't do this for nothing. I mean, we do it for nothing. That is, we do it for the love of the Lord. The love of Christ constrains us. We thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And if we were dead and Jesus Christ died for us, now we're alive. Yes, the love of Christ causes us to go to do this. And then he goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what we are. So we do it for the love of Christ, but he also gives us reward. Verse 36 and 38, he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. The reward is called wages and fruit. Wages. The wages, he receives pay. He receives pay for his work in the harvest. And he does that, he says, fruit for eternal life. If you aren't careful, you'll see that as, oh, you have fruit, and by this fruit, by your labor, you'll get eternal life. No, not that. That flies in the face of too many scriptures. No, what he's saying there is it's in connection with eternal life. You receive fruit. What's the fruit? The fruit is believers, souls. If you receive souls, they receive eternal life. It's souls for eternal life. And it's also in connection with our eternal life. We're going to receive wages from the Lord. We'll receive fruit for the Lord for our time while we're living our eternal life. So the rewards then are connected with the eternal life. And then verse 37 says, "And for in this, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps." One sows. Yeah, Paul said that same thing. I know where he got it now. "I planted," he says, and this is in 1 Corinthians 3, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the time has given the increase." That kind of gives you a little damper on my ego, right? I go out there and I do. Oh, I've led 5 people to the Lord. Wait a minute. One plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. Keep that in mind. God gives the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants is he who, and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's it. Oh, our church did so and so. Our church does this. No. I do. I'll be standing there before the Lord, and you will too. And he'll look at your record. What did you do? What part in the church did you have? When they needed a Sunday school teacher, where were you? When they needed somebody to carry out the garbage, where were you? Okay? Both are service for the Lord. When there's a need in the church, God has equipped all of us. Spiritual gifts. Everyone has one or more spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts need to be used in the church. Pastor doesn't do it all. Doesn't do very much. But there are works out there to do. And the Ephesians 4 says, "And God gave pastor teachers for the edifying of the saints, in order that the saints can do the work of the ministry." That's it. All of us. What is your work for the ministry? Here. What are you saying? We do the work of the ministry. We are all, but we're all going to be rewarded individually. So, we don't always see the results at the time, he says. You don't see it ever. You witness. You pass out tracts. You leave it with the waitress. You put it in a bill you send off to the electric company. Whatever. You don't see that. But you keep doing it. If every one of us is doing it, it's going to happen. You're going to see. That parking lot will never hold them. So, we always see the results. Later, Jesus, the righteous judge, is the one who keeps the books. It's all there. The good, the bad, the ugly, it's there. And listen, his computer never crashes. It's all there. It's going to stay there until one day the books are opened. He said, "I sent you to," talking to these disciples now, "I sent you to labor, to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Boy, I'm puzzled on that one. It kind of sneaks up on you. What do you mean? Isn't this their first chance to hear the gospel? Who's been here before we got here? Well, others have labored, he said. The Samaritans were looking for Messiah to begin with. They have to know who Messiah is. They have to be looking for Messiah before someone comes along and says, "Here's Messiah." There's somebody working in the background, working before that. Well, maybe the Old Testament, they had the Pentateuch, remember? The Samaritan Pentateuch. They heard about the one who's coming. God told Moses, "I'm going to send somebody like you, and they'll listen to him." Well, and they keep looking for him, the Messiah. Their leaders taught them Messiah is going to come. John the Baptist may well have been there baptizing. And so when they came along and they reaped, then they were building on somebody else. And that's what you're going to do. You rarely will go to a place where the person hasn't heard of Christ. Build on it. Don't knock them down. I'll tell you, there are a lot of good churches around this neighborhood. I didn't say that. Yeah, there are. Let them do their thing. They're doing theirs, and we want to do ours. Build on what they have already. So, at the judgment seat of Christ, they will receive their reward. You'll receive yours. That's it. So, the woman testified to the men, Jesus teaching his disciples, and the Samaritans talked for themselves. Verse 39 to 42, they believed the word of the woman. Verse 39 says, they believed the word of the woman. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all I ever did. You hear that? That's what her message was. She didn't have to say all this thing. I read a book about how to do this. No, went in there and said, he told me all I ever did. That's her job. And guess what? They came to know the Lord. They went to the Lord. He showed he was no ordinary man. And others came to knowledge of the coming Messiah. And all that rang a bell. Oh, yeah, this is him. And then many more believed because on the word of Jesus. Verse 40 says, so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them and stay with them 2 days. He stayed with 2 days. And then many more believed because of his word. You hear that? This woman, one woman, went home to her people, told them about what she heard. They all came back to Jesus. And he taught them for 2 days. Many more believed. Why? One woman. One woman at the well affected all those people. And many more since. Now, testifying, teaching, telling. They believed. And they received eternal life. Now, it's a gift. Oh my. What do you have to do to get a gift? We're singing Rock of Ages. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You can't cling to the cross with something in your hand. That writer had it right. No, it's coming with nothing. Open hands I come to the Lord. And you can't buy it. You can't bargain for it. I promised it. No, you don't promise anything. He promises you. And you say thank you. No, it's eternal. Eternal. How long is eternal? Well, it's a long time. It's forever. You can't get the shorter version. They don't sell it. Oh yeah, they sell it down the street. And you'll never hear these words, wait, we'll give you twice as much if you call in the next 5 minutes. Never hear that. And you can't send in the empty container either, by the way. Get your money back. Number one, you didn't pay anything. Can't do that. And there's no container large enough to hold eternal life out there. And you can't use it up anyway. It's going on forever. So, another hymn. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, We've no less days to sing his praise than when we've first begun. That's it. That's what we're selling here. That's what we're giving away here. That's what we're giving away in the Word of God.